This morning, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. So if you've brought your Bibles, you can head that direction. If not, there's a Bible in the rack in front of you. If there's not, let me know. I'll get you one. I don't think we'll have the words. They might be fast enough to keep up with me. Charity just gave me the thumbs up, so that means she's on it. I will be preaching from the NIV this morning. So my words might actually match yours this week. All right. So let's open this morning with prayer. Gracious Father, oh God, we're in awe of you. Lord, we just love you and we praise you for loving us anyway. Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. You would guide our thoughts and actions. Use your words, Lord. Use your book to convict and comfort us, God. And allow us to grow closer to you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, do you guys find 1 Peter 4? We're going to read 1 through 11. I told you, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I was listening to Judah Smith preach, and he said, I always read the scriptures, just in case you didn't get anything out of what I said. You at least got some scripture that day, right? So we're gonna read 1 through 11, and then do what I always do, kind of go back and chunk it up and see what that means for us. Mine starts, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Okay, we're done. Go home. Wasn't that... That's awesome. So, as I read along there, there's a lot of sermons in there. And actually, God, this morning, as I was sitting in my chair and I was listening to the song for devotions, gave me two or three. Now, they're going to have to stay here until I can write something down, right? So, they'll get jumbled. We might get them preached this year. We might not. I don't know. But it's just neat how God works. And one of the things he does is he gives us his word. And he says, "Here's my word. Now let's do something with it." Now, I don't know, what's your the headings in the Bible? Mine says living for God. Another one might say something about being a good steward. And anyhow, those are kind of like little indicators. This is an indication of what's to come. So you kind of know what to expect. So if you were to turn on talk radio and you heard Rush Limbaugh talking, you already, before he even says a word, you know, I mean, you can hear his voice, you already kind of know what to expect, right? The kind of content to expect. If you're watching MSNBC, you kind of know the content that's going to come at you. So these are kind of little indicators. Hey, this is going to be about living for God. And what I would tell you is Peter... is a much better writer than I am. But what he did is he made two main points here. And I know pastors speak in threes, but today it's two. Two main points. The very first seven verses Here's the first point. In the first seven verses, stop sinning. The last four verses, start serving. Stop sinning, start serving. Stop something and then begin something, okay? Now, obviously, that's the kind of message that you would expect to hear when you come to church. None of you are like, ooh, let me write that down. Right? You knew something like that was coming at you because you came into church. Stop sinning, start serving. Those are simple. But I will tell you, based on that, the stop verses, he tells you to stop sinning and he gives you a few things to remember. Here comes your three. Remember the resurrection. Remember eternity. And remember that both of those are imminent. Both of those are imminent. Let's just read 4:1 there a little bit. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Since Christ suffered, arm yourselves in that way of thinking. I like the way it says arm yourselves, because that makes me feel like battle ready. You guys have read the scriptures about putting on the armor of God. Well, now I got a weapon. And what is this weapon? This weapon is the same attitude of Christ. I taught the junior, senior high Wednesday night class, and I asked them, I said, it was a trick question, and they got it wrong, but I asked them anyway. I said, hey, can you control your attitude? And they're like, no. I said, false. If you can control one thing in this entire world, it is your attitude. It is 100% the way you choose to respond, the way you choose to view, the way you choose to act. You control that. So now I'm telling you, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with that same attitude. Use it as a weapon. Christ suffered to the point of crucifixion, and though it looked like things were out of control, if you've read, boy, it looked like things were spiraling down, didn't it? There in the end days for Christ. It looked like they were out of control and that the bad guys had won, but we know now that God has the last word. He has the last word. And that last word is the resurrection. Remember the resurrection. This is not an Easter sermon, but it's something you need to do daily. Remember the resurrection. Why? Because there's power. Power in the resurrection. The God, and I do this almost every Sunday, but the God that created everything has this power to raise his son from the dead, fulfilling the prophecies, which has also paid a debt for your sin. Remember the resurrection. In the same way, many of you are in the midst of suffering. You're going through a trial. And it looks like things might be out of control. They're spiraling down quickly. Arm yourselves with the attitude of Christ. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. So you need to remember, that's when you're most vulnerable, is kind of when things seem a little bit chaotic and a little bit out of control. You need to remember, it's at that point when you're going to hear this whisper, hey, it's easier to do this. It's easier to come this way. It's easier to stop following Jesus. It's easier to stop listening. It's easier to stop praying. It's easier to quit going to church. It's easier, whatever. You're going to have this whisper in your mind. Don't shut up. Just quite frankly, just tell it, be quiet. I don't want to hear you, because I have this attitude that Christ had. He suffered to the point of crucifixion. That should bring you hope. That should bring you joy. It brings me peace. Because I know when I suffer, so did Christ. And I know that when he was tempted with sin, he didn't. Put on that attitude. Let's look at this one. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. The idea here is that there are two paths to follow, the path of obedience and the path of sin. All right? Following Christ means a level of suffering, doesn't it? Isn't it a little bit tougher to be obedient? I mean, it's easier to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Because to follow Christ means to take up a cross. For some people, like Peter's audience, that means they're persecuted. These people that Peter's writing to were being forced into a confession that Jesus was not the Messiah, or they were killed, right? For others, because you choose to sacrifice. Think about this. Every Sunday morning, we pass around these little baskets. Or maybe it's a gold-colored plate. We pass them around, and we ask you to sacrifice some of your monetary gains of the week. We ask you, hey, give God back some money, right? Now, if you were to do that as you were supposed to do, if giving back God your first fruits, we would be millionaires. As a church, this church would be in the millions, in the bank, right now, in this small congregation. But some of you have chosen not to. What is that doing? You're suffering, but you're being ill-equipped. See, isn't that giving up a creature comfort? Isn't that difficult? Isn't that hard sometimes? But what are the benefits? I would argue, and I would tell you that they would outlast anything you're building up here on this world. Also, you're going to get weary. There's going to be a weariness in serving God. There's two paths to follow. Are you going to be obedient to God with everything God's given you, or not? Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. That's what he's trying to say to us. For other people, when we get kind of down this suffering and we get this persecution, a lot of people will turn to self-medicating. Alcoholism is probably one of the easiest ways to point, or drug abuse is one of the easiest things to kind of point out. But as we're suffering and as we're going through these trials, realize if we chose the attitude of Christ, to look at it and say, wow, he suffered, he had a crucifixion, but he was resurrected. What does that promise? You will get through it without your self-medication. Isn't it so hard to not just try to fix our own lives? It really is, until you realize this isn't your life. This isn't our home. We're aliens here. This isn't our place. This isn't where we're supposed to be. Now, unfortunately, many people never make it through this test. So Peter says, arm yourselves with the way of thinking, or with the attitude that he had. Think of it like a weapon you would wield in battle. If you're in the midst of suffering, say Christ suffered. He faced what looked like defeat. What looked like God had forsaken him. But look what happened. God resurrected him. That's why the apostles in the first day of Christianity, they were unbeatable. They had just witnessed this. They had just seen this resurrection. Nothing threatened them, or that was threatened with them, could scare them. We're going to beat you. And they would say, I'm convinced that the suffering of the world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. The oppressors would say, we will kill you. To live as Christ, to die as gain. We'll destroy your message by murdering you all and your followers. That's what you did to Jesus. How's that working out? Well, then we'll just shut you up in prison. Awesome. We've got a whole lot of writing to do. See what I'm saying? These apostles, they had an answer for everything, and it was a righteous answer. What's our answer as we go through our trials each and every day? Do we take this attitude of Christ, knowing that he has suffered and we will suffer? Do we take that or no? Arm yourselves with the knowledge of the resurrection, the knowledge that Christ lived with, that God uses pain and suffering to accomplish his work on earth. And ultimately, your pain, our defeat, will be swallowed up in victory like Christ was. Let's look at number two. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Keep going. Three, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. So when I get to words, I don't really know what they mean. I look them up. I'm a bit of a nerd. I came to debauchery. I had a pretty good idea of what it meant, but I wanted to really know what it meant. Debauchery means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Carousing. Drink plentiful amounts of alcohol and enjoy yourselves with others in a noisy, lively way. So that's what he's... if you go back to... Which one is that? Three. It says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in excessive indulgence of sensual pleasures, lust, drunkenness, orgies, and drinking plentiful amounts of alcohol and enjoying yourselves with others in a noisy, lively way in a detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. They can't understand why you wouldn't do these things, is what he's saying. Why? Because they don't have a hope that goes beyond the world. So naturally, they try to make the most out of this world, feel good. Right? It's all about feelings. Chase your dreams, make the most of what you have, do what you want. Spend all your money on yourselves and on your children. Make a bucket list. What else is there but earthly desires? When you don't live that way, it disturbs them because it tells them the whole basis of their life is off. And they will call to abuse you. If you turn on your television, you see this. If you go sit outside, you will see this. If you just... anybody in here people watch? Guilty. Love watching people, especially if I'm not doing much. I hate shopping, but if I'm there, I'm going to sit there and hang out. So I used to play this game. I'll sit there and try to figure out what people's lives are like. You know, I just kind of look at them. I'm like, I wonder what this person's kind of going through. And then kind of make up this whole backstory. And then it's bad. I get my kids involved. I'm like, hey, what do you think this guy's kind of going through in life? And I wonder if people do that to us. I wonder if they look at us and say, huh, I wonder what's going on with them. Why do they act like that? I know for a fact their mom, grandma, brother, sister is very, 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 very sick. I know for a fact they have cancer and they're dying, like literally dying. Why are they so happy? Why do they say praise God so much? I wonder if folks look at us like that. If they don't, they should. I wish they would. They wonder why we don't choose to medicate ourselves the way that they do. And I don't know, I'm going to throw out a generality. I bet at some point you have been kind of ostracized for your beliefs on this matter. I bet at some point someone has looked at you differently or said something to you because of your beliefs so that you won't follow them down a certain path. And I would say good for you. Because let's look what's next. Five. Let's look at five. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Peter says, they don't have the last word. God does. Keep your eyes on that. You're about to go into eternity, which lasts forever. I've seen... Hey, okay, I'm going to use this for a second. Here's an impromptu illustration for you guys. We're going to talk about eternity and time. right? This is the timeline. You guys in the back see this number 8 right there? That's how long you're on earth. The rest of this is eternity. Okay? Eternity is a very, 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 very long time. I can't even show you or describe it to you to help you understand it if you don't already have a grasp on it. What you need to know is what happens here, your decisions here affects that. It affects that eternity. And Peter says, just remember, you're going to have to give an account. Just remember that. In each and every decision that you make, remember that they don't have the last word, neither do you. Keep your eyes on that. Which is why, number two, remember the eternity. Your belief in the resurrection should cause you to live in a way that is baffling to others. It should cause you to look so different than this world that they are confused by you, that they want to interrogate you to figure out why you're like that. And can I ask you, is that happening? Is that happening? Eternity and the resurrection redefines everything. Let's look at 6. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. Let me first tell you what it doesn't mean. This verse does not mean that someone went and preached the gospel after they were dead, and that they got a second chance. That's not what this means. That would be against the whole point of this passage, actually. Peter's whole point is to tell people not to indulge in the lust of the flesh. He's not telling them, don't worry, you'll get a second chance. No, Scripture's pretty clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is no second chance. This little bit of blip, this little bitty time that you're here, you only get one shot at it. We get one opportunity. But what is so cool about grace is that when you mess up on that opportunity, He's already paid your price. He's paid your price. All you got to do is accept it. The difference between us and the world and any other non-believer is we have accepted the gift. If you have, that's the difference. And that because of that gift, through that acceptance, we should live differently. We should want to act differently. We should wield this attitude like a sword of Christ's resurrection. It should change you. Should change you completely. The point of this passage is the gospel was preached to people who are now dead when they were alive. The gospel was preached to them when they were alive but are now dead. And even though they died, just like Jesus did, they now live like God did. You guys understand that once you die here, that's not it, right? If you don't, I have failed you as a pastor. This is not it. There's something much more after this. There's this eternity, and we get to pick where we go. We can be in His eternal presence, or we can be absent from His eternal presence. Those are the two choices. What's funny to people, or to me, if you went up to ask somebody, hey, do you want to go to heaven? They might tell you no. I don't get it. I don't understand. And it's hard for me to minister to those people. Like, why not? Let me tell you about it. You know who's there? You know how awesome it is? I digress. He's telling them to think about people that are dead and live in the light of that. In the Psalms, we know that it says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That's one of Martin Luther's favorite texts. Let me give you this statistic. There's this estimation that a total of 107 billion, that's billion, people have now been born on earth. 6 billion are alive now. That means 93.5% of all the people who have ever been born are dead. And they are somewhere. 101 billion people chose an eternity. Just want to give you a glimpse of how crowded heaven's going to be. But I think there's room for you. I think there's room for you. All right? Look at verse 7. The end of all things is near. I should just stop there. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. There's a whole lot going on right now with blood moons and ends of the worlds. And I've told you before, I'm not one of those end-of-the-world preachers. I just expect it to be today. And then if I wake up in the morning, I'm surprised, and we just go on with that day. No one knows when. We can look at the signs in Revelation. We can look at the signs everywhere. But for me to tell you the exact date, I don't know. Is it going to be tonight? I hope so. Right? I'm on a fast track. I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. I'm not going to go be reckless with my life, but I'm just saying I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get there. But there has been always this urgency in the epistles that the end is near now. And we know that was a couple thousand years ago, but I would still tell you, you remember that number 8? It's just a blip. The end is near. The end is absolutely near. Remember that both these things are imminent. The return of Christ is imminent. It's soon, and it could happen at any minute. That should absolutely change how you live. I love this one. If you knew Jesus was coming back tonight, would you change the way you would act today? Absolutely. Makes sense. So if you lived like Jesus was coming back tonight, you would change the way you live today. Guys, this isn't rocket science. This isn't hard, right? He's coming back. He said he was. Stop sinning, start doing something. So that's where we're going. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. As God's people, you have a crucial role on this earth. We are to pray. We're to intercede for one another. We're to go to Him, to ask for Him, for His will. For His will. Look at 8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Our love for others has a way of curing them of sin. This covers doesn't mean hides it. It means takes it away. All right. So love takes away a multitude of sins. Our love for each other, our love for God, God's love for us, covers. It takes away a multitude of our sins. Look at 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You ever see that person pull up in your driveway like, ugh. Yeah, this says not to do that. I'm teasing, but really, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling about it. We're a generous culture. We're a generous people. Going down to 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You each have a gift to serve the body and the church. Each person has received means you all have one. Now take it seriously. This is how God does His work. that's simple. You have a gift, use it. Serve God. Number 11. We're wrapping up here. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. I take that pretty seriously. Even though I fail sometimes, If you're to speak, you're to speak the very words of God. And it's not just me. If anyone speaks, you're anyone. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Peter says the church is the body where people serve like Jesus, by the power of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. Does that make sense? I'll read it to you again. The church is the body where people serve like Jesus, by the power of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. Not for our glory, not through our power, through His power, for His glory. It's all about Him. It will always come back to Him. You know that we don't have... If you got what you deserved... Can I just be real with you? The wages of sin is death. You deserve death. You deserve to die. And not just like die here, but eternally be dead. Not brought back to life. That's what we deserve because we're wretched, wicked sinners. Life's not fair. Thank God. Thank God. Because you don't always get what you deserve. We get more than we deserve. He died. He was resurrected so that you could have an eternity somewhere else. And as we read through here, it says that to stop sinning and start serving. It's easier said than done. But I'm pretty sure we just laid out a blueprint that's pretty easy. You know, as you go through each decision, arm yourself with that attitude, with the attitude of Christ, with a good attitude even. Choose to find the silver lining in a bad situation. Realize that suffering is a part of life. It's going to happen. You can't avoid it. So embrace it. And then use that to start serving the Lord. Start serving God. I'll close by pointing out that this is all built on the truth of the resurrection. Peter really believed it. Do you? Do you really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you said, "Wow, look at that power"? Because everyone saw this man beaten and dragged and nailed to a cross and saw him put into a tomb. They rolled the stone over in front of it and put a guard there and he resurrected. If that doesn't make you say, "Wow," I don't know what does. You're numb. You've missed it. Wow! The power. And that power is the very same power given to us through the Holy Spirit. We have this power. Harness this power. Use this power to sin less and serve more. Sin less and serve more. The resurrection should be the hope that that pervades every one of your thoughts. We should use it as a lens. We should view everything through the view of the resurrection, through that power, through that purpose. You are the purpose of the resurrection. Because you couldn't get to Him without it. If you haven't decided to let Jesus into your heart, if you haven't made the decision for Christ and said, "You know what, God, I accept this gift of grace," I would love to talk to you and pray with you. If you have and you've kind of walked away and you want to come back, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But can I tell you, you don't need me. You don't need... I'll have Matt come down here in a minute. You don't need Matt. You don't need me. All you need is Him. We got the kneelers down here. You can do it at your seat if you're comfortable. Wherever you do it, just do it. Make a covenant with God this morning. Tell him you want to sin less and serve more. And watch what happens in your life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, we beg you to forgive us for where we've failed you. And Lord, I just pray that we can come to you with a transparent heart. Lord, I pray you search us out. Find the sin that needs to be removed. Make it apparent to us, Lord, and then give us the strength, wisdom, and courage to get it out so that we can serve you more. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for our congregation. And I just pray a special blessing over each and every one of us this morning, God. I pray that as we live our lives, we cause people to pause and wonder, what is it that we have that they don't? God, give us the opportunity to share your truth, your love, and your grace with others. And I thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm gonna have what's left of our praise team come up. So we're competing with the Prairie Peddler. And the praise team are blessing those folks down there with their voices and their musical ability. But aren't we blessed this morning? No, we have some great people leading us in worship. You guys like the hymns?
Yes.
Right? All right. Okay, if you would stand, I'm gonna have Matt come up here. Like I said before, we are available to pray with you, but you don't have to pray with us. I would love to be there with you, but you don't need us. God is standing there with his arms wide open, waiting to embrace you. I beg you to run to him.